as she walked away. Color them gray. This is the heart that thought she would always be true.
I'd like to call the meeting to order. And will the agenda pop up on this recording?
No, the agenda does not pop up, but your next item would be your roll call. I'm sorry, your Pledge of Allegiance and roll call.
Okay. Can Shannon start us on the roll call? I mean, the Pledge of Allegiance.
Yes, absolutely. If you all please stand. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And would you do the roll call, please?
Absolutely. Commissioner Holdren does not appear that he is on. Commissioner Replico-Purinton?
Present.
Commissioner Walton?
Present.
Commissioners West and Ronkinen have previously said they would be absent and they are not here. Vice Chair Williams?
Present.
And Chair Jenkins?
Present.
Thank you very much.
Chair Jenkins, the next item is the public forum. So if there was anybody that wanted to speak, Shanna can check that for you to see if we have any speakers on the line.
Would you please, Shannon?
I will. If there are any members of the public who are online and wish to make a public comment on an item that is not on the agenda, please use the raise your hand icon and I will unmute you on this end. Okay, not seeing any raised hands, and we did not receive any written comment prior to this meeting.
Very good.
Your next item on the agenda is the consent calendar, and if you'd like, Shanna can go ahead and read those items for you.
Would you please, Shannon?
I will. Let me just pull this up. There are four items on the consent calendar. Minutes from the April 7th, 2021 Parks and Recreation Commission meeting. Parks and Recreation Manager Project and Program Update. Parks and Open Space Manager Update. And the Director's Report.
Has everybody had an opportunity to read? The minutes. Well, the chair will entertain a motion to be in favor of the consent calendar. All those in favor, please say aye.
Chair Jenkins, Commissioner Vice Chair Williams had a comment. She may want an item pulled.
Okay, I'm sorry. Commissioner Williams.
Thank you, Chair Jenkins. I would like to pull the minutes and also the director's report from the consent agenda.
Okay. And does that go down to our regular agenda items since those two items were pulled?
And thank you for your question. Thank you for your question, Chair Jenkins. Commissioner Vice Chair Williams, I'm sorry, can speak to why she has those items pulled, and the commission can discuss that at that time. And then if the commission is satisfied, then you can entertain a request to approve the consent calendar as amended, should there be any need for amendments.
Okay. Vice Chair Williams, will you talk to the two items that you have pulled.
Thank you, Chair Jenkins. With respect to the agenda, I would recommend that it be amended to include the names of the for the monarch butterfly that we actually proposed. The way the motion is written now, it's unclear which names we actually selected. I think those names were an integral part of the motion, and so I'd recommend that the motion be enhanced and amended to include the actual names that we proposed. Should I stop there, or should I talk about both items?
Well, maybe we should send it back to the other two members on the commission to see if they have any comments about pulling that particular issue about the monarchs to include a fuller discussion within the body of the minutes. Is there any objection to that?
Well, I just want to say I agree with Commissioner Williams. As a new commissioner, I did notice that, but I thought maybe that was just standard protocol. But it is important enough that we should enter the name in the minutes. So I agree.
I agree as well.
Okay. And I'm in agreement. So
Chair Jenkins, you can go ahead and accept that approved as amended, and we will just go ahead and add those names into the minutes for you.
So by consent, we're approving to Vice Chair Williams' augmentation to the minutes regarding the butterfly.
Yes, we'll take a vote. And when you vote on the consent calendar in general, we'll have to do a roll call vote and Shannon will take it. But the motion would be need to include approve as amended to the minutes. And that would be fine if you wanted to go ahead and speak on the other item.
Very good. My other item is just simply that I think it would benefit all of us in the public to have Director Valdez explain to all of us and introduce to all of us our newest staff member. And I thought that would just be delightful to take a moment to welcome our new staff member after Director Valdez introduces her.
I'd be happy to do so. Thank you, Vice Chair Williams. Director's report that's on the calendar, consent calendar, really highlights a number of different items that have taken place since I've been asked to speak to the component of our introduction of our new management assistant. I'll just focus my time on there. We did want to say a warm welcome and introduce Ms. Brittany Ramirez, who's joining the Neighborhood Services and Public Safety team as our new management assistant. She'll be working closely with Ms. Dawson as she is this evening behind the scenes. She will be providing support to Ms. Plummer, as well as the department and the Parks and Rec Commission for these meetings. She is doing a great job, and she has a great mentor with Ms. Dawson kind of leading the way and helping her along. So I would like to take this opportunity just to say welcome, Ms. Ramirez, and we look forward to working with you and working with the Parks and Rec Commission.
Thank you. Welcome from all.
And lastly, thank you to Ms. Dawson for all the work she's done in the past and will continue to do with us as she transitions this over to Ms. Ramirez. So thank you, Ms. Dawson.
So the chair will entertain a motion to approve the amendments to the minutes as we discuss. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Chair Jenkins, you need to do a roll call vote in the virtual world. So thank you, but we'll call Shanna back in to do a roll call vote, please.
So do we have a motion and a second for this?
I will move.
And I'll second.
Okay.
Ken, you're moving it as amended, correct? As amended in the minutes. Thank you.
Correct.
All right. Commissioner Replico-Purinton?
Aye.
Commissioner Walton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Williams?
Yes.
And Chair Jenkins?
Yes.
The motion passes. Thank you very much. Chair Jenkins will also need a motion to approve the rest of the consent calendar and then do a roll call for that as well.
Okay. Well, again, the chair will entertain a motion to accept the consent calendar as amended. Will somebody make that motion?
I move we accept the calendar as amended.
We need a second.
I'll second.
Roll call. No discussion. Is there any discussion? Seeing none. Ms. Dawson, would you do a roll call, please?
Absolutely. Commissioner Replico-Purinton?
Aye.
Commissioner Walton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Williams?
Yes.
And Chair Jenkins?
Yes.
Motion passes. Thank you very much.
Yoo-hoo.
Our next item is presentation B1, Parks, Recreation, and Open Space Proposed Budget and Work Plan for 2021 through 2022. And this will be led off by Ms. Joanne Plummer.
Okay, thank you, Chair Jenkins and members of the commission. We have for you tonight a presentation about our budget. As we spoke at our last meeting, we had discussed that the Parks and Recreation Commission will be seeing, talking about the following year's budget late this fall, and we'll be talking with you about priorities and what you would like to see happen in the upcoming budget. But because we are so close, our budget process starts usually right before Christmas for us. And so we will be coming to you before that time to get your input, and then we'll be carrying the information forward. So as information was turned in and fine-tuned, we are well on our way with this budget, but we wanted to share with you, as we have in the past, what is being proposed to the City Council. So next slide, please. So the 2021-2022 budget for neighborhood services and public safety, in June, it looks like on June 15th, the City Council will be asked to adopt the budget. They've already reviewed a draft copy of the budget and had an opportunity to ask some questions. And this will be our fiscal year's run on 2 years, but each year we revisit to see if there needs to be any amendments or changes. This year's proposed budget places 8 parks and recreation related CIP projects for our department. That does not include the other CIP projects that are happening in neighborhood services and public safety, which is the fire station, 10, and Amtrak train depot. The total cost this year for active park related capital improvement projects in our department for fiscal year 21-22 is $4,193,767. The proposed operating budget for everything else that we do in our department as it relates to parks and recreation only is $572,600. Next slide, please. So some of the budget considerations, staff was asked for a status quo budget, and we have always been taught to listen, and we did just that. We looked at looking at all the recent cutbacks we've made during the pandemic. We did submit a status quo budget with minor adjustments to account for increases for costs related to like memberships or supplies that we use. Those were really the only adjustments that we made to accommodate some vendors. And then everything else was status quo. We tried to return a lot of our budgets to pre-pandemic state if it was applicable. And really, because we were putting this together in January and February, that June 15th date had never been announced yet. So we really didn't know what this next year was going to look like. So we really kept our budget cuts. You know, we only put in what was really necessary in order to operate in a status quo world. But we did want to return us to our staffing levels pre-pandemic, because we are doing a lot and we need the support. So we had asked for the restoration of a part-time intern to facilitate our butterfly education program. And this request that's being proposed actually in the budget is upgraded to a part-time management assistant position. And this person will also oversee the Adopt-a-Park program that was supported by the commission last year. So the commission loved that program, but in managing volunteers, you need people to be able to do that and to be out in the field with them. And so if this position is approved, which it is being supported at this time, we'll be able to facilitate that Adopt-a-Park program as soon as we get somebody on board. I will share that with that program, we are still continuing with our pilot program with the Goleta Rotary Program. So they are being fabulous and they're still going out once a month to Johnny D. Wallace Neighborhood Park and helping out. At this time, Jaime Valdez will remain as our interim director until further notice. Next slide, please. So I'm not gonna go through all of this. You have a copy of this in your packet, but each year we submit a work plan and it's part of our budget process. And it basically tells the council what we will be working on in this next year. And that way, if council gets a call and someone says, oh, I think we need to build a giant area for circuses to come to Goleta, that somebody's great idea doesn't send this and our work plan askew, that we look at it and really evaluate it. And if it is a priority in the community, whether it's an emergency or something else, then the work plan would need to shift. And it's just an understanding. So our work plan is, in essence, our goals for the next year and what we're trying to accomplish. And this again is just for the parks and recreation component. So what we do, all of the projects that we're working on, all of the touches, and there are little things that will splatter amongst this over the next year. We know that because life happens, and we know that we are really good about pivoting and doing what needs to happen. But for the most part, this is really what our focus is. When we come to the commission this coming fall, we'll be talking to you about some of the items we want to see in our work plan. We'll give you our recommendations and see if you agree with that based on the priorities that the commission has and the budgetary restrictions and so forth. So this is everything from all of our CIP projects to our education programs, the Adopt-a-Park program, acquisition of properties, expanding our open space out on Elwood Mesa, buying up some of the Matilda parcels. So all of these things have a plethora of things that come with them. For example, the acquisition of the properties to expand the open space is not just finding a willing seller, but going through that entire process, as well as trying to find funding, which oftentimes comes in the form of grants. So we're looking at grant opportunities to make those purchases too. So just saying, hey, I found a willing seller, that's only one little piece of that pie. That pie for that job duty is much greater. So next slide, please. And so here's a list of our park-related CIP projects. This is all of the CIP projects that we'll be touching next year, whether we're doing a request for design or we're in final design, we're heading into construction, in advertisement, or wherever we're out. And as you recall, the pickleball court concept that will be starting again with that community outreach to make sure it's something that's needed, but that as well as in our CIP list that'll be going to council next week. This list does not include a couple other projects that we're in the midst of right now, which the CIP 9071 is the Goleta Valley Community Center field that we renovated in 2019. And we've had a little bit of an issue with stormwater and how that's outletting. So we're making a correction to that and fixing that. So we're still working on that project a little bit, even though that construction project is essentially complete. We're fixing something that's not quite working well. As well, CIP 9066 and 9108 are our playground replacements. And that we're hoping is going to be awarded very soon, and will with construction starting shortly thereafter. So the other ones listed in front of you on the chart are all of the new ones or the active ones next year, since these ones will be wrapping up within the first quarter of next year. Next slide, please. So parks and recreation related budget, I had shared with you our total budget for the year. I pulled out some elements that I felt that the commission maybe have some interest in, and that's meetings and conferences was one of them. And each year there is, in the past, pre-COVID, we had funding to take one to two commissioners with us to a conference at the state level for parks and recreation professionals. And last year, during COVID, we were at the conference. Commissioner West and Vice Chair Williams and I were there, and we were learning all kinds of amazing things. And we got summoned to come back to Goleta because things were shutting down. And there was also an outbreak at the town we were in. So our city manager wanted us back, and here we came. So we didn't have any money to go anywhere this year, and there is a ban on travel, but we did put in a little bit of money because the organizations have pivoted and they're offering online opportunities. So we put enough money in there for a registration or two for an online opportunity rather than travel. And then in the following year, which you're just looking at next year's budget, but the following year, we were very optimistic that everything would be restored back to normal. And we have filled that budget back to its pre-COVID existence so that we'll be able to have more professional development opportunities for staff and commissioners. Our membership and dues, again, this is for staff and commissioners as well. We have agency membership to the California Park and Recreation Society, an agency membership to the National Recreation and Parks Association, and then our commissioners are registered with the California Association of Park and Recreation Commissions and Boards. It's a very long acronym, but that allows us to seek them out if we're looking for some trainings. We've held a training with them in the past. In the past year and a half has been a little bit wonky, but we're hoping to bring some of that back, and they are fabulous and a great resource for our commissioners. So all of you will have a membership with them as well. And then department supplies. So we run on a shoestring, and this is just for miscellaneous supplies. So for example, when we do a contest and we're going to be awarding in gift cards, then this is where this money comes from. If we're going to do a pop-up outreach and we need giveaways or tablecloths or anything of that nature, this is where it comes from. So we don't have a whole lot of money to spend, and we're very frugal with this. We also use this. I just used it to purchase our playground inspection supplies, our little toolkit, and updated materials that we need related to standards. So the ASTM standards that we comply with for our playgrounds, we're ordering a new edition of that as well. And then we have the support to other agencies. So this is nothing that the commission weighs in on. This has its own committee that we work with, and this falls under Ms. Dawson's new responsibilities with her promotion, that she oversees this program. This is city funding that goes to numerous organizations, and they're listed on your slide here: Gersh Park, the Goleta Valley Community Center, the Goleta Valley Historical Society, the Center for Urban Agricultural at Fairview, and South Coast Railroad Museum and Coast. And they provide different services for the community that the city is unable to provide. So the city is offers them some financial support. So this is, again, while the commission doesn't weigh in on what happens here, it's important that the commission does have an understanding that the city is giving funding, and all those programs and services that are happening at those organizations are affiliated in some way with Parks and Recreation. Next slide, please. So I'm going to go ahead and turn this over to George Thompson so that he can speak to the public works side of the budget and the Parks and Open Space Division.
Thank you so much, Joanne. Good evening, Chair and Commissioners. I'm the Parks and Open Space Manager, and I thought I'd just, before I jump into the projects and programs, just highlight the different role that I have from Joanne. I oversee our parks and open space program. So that's about 500 acres spread across 99 acres. And so really I'm responsible with my staff and our contractors for the daily maintenance of all of our public open spaces and parks, developed parks. That said, Joanne and I work together daily, checking in with each other about various issues. I'm housed in the Public Works Department, but as far as my working relationship with Joanne and Neighborhood Services, there's not a hard line between our programs. We do a lot of cross-training and coordination. Okay, what I'm presenting tonight and what Joanne has discussed, I just want to highlight two documents that Joanne mentioned. Our annual work plan, which was a special city council meeting last month, actually even in April, I believe it was, and then our budget, which was a separate review process. And as Joanne mentioned, we'll be going through this process with the commission in the new fiscal year when we develop our work plan and budget for next year. And so I look forward to that. I know Joanne does too, and it'll really be a great team effort to highlight all of the priorities that the city has and have that direct link between the commission and city council. Okay, in the Parks and Open Space Division, we have our daily ongoing maintenance, but we also have a lot of capital projects that are primarily related to our open spaces. So places like Lake Los Carneros and Elwood Mesa, the Butterfly Grove. So I do manage some capital projects, but on a daily basis, I'm dealing mostly with our contractors, our own in-house staff. We have three maintenance staff within Public Works that service our parks and open spaces, and then various consultants and contractors that I'll highlight on the next slide. Before we go to that though, I just want to point out a couple highlights for this upcoming year. We have a lot of work to do. And so one of the themes that has been discussed at City Council and with the various community groups that we've met with and worked with over the past year, there is a lot of deferred maintenance in our parks and open spaces. And as the manager for those areas, we are highlighting at the staff level and addressing a lot of those deferred maintenance issues where we can. Some of them rise to a level where they need to be developed into their own capital project, meaning a standalone multi-year effort that includes design, permitting, construction, bidding, award of a contract at City Council, and then building the project. So those are a different type of beast. For the daily maintenance, we've got everything from our daily cleaning of restrooms to mowing our 15 acres of turf. And so that occupies a lot of our staff's time and our contractor's time. We also, so I'll start going down on the left-hand column here. We have, I believe, 16 playgrounds that are owned by the city, and they require monthly inspections. It is important to highlight some of the deferred maintenance items in our playgrounds become our top priority because there is a considerable amount of liability associated with these structures. So when we find something that is wrong with the playground, we immediately come in and order new parts or tighten up loose connections and so forth. We also manage the Lake Los Carneros area, natural area, which includes a dam that creates the lake. It is a state-regulated facility overseen by the Department of Water Resources at the state level. We just completed an annual inspection. We maintain it by controlling weeds, controlling rodents, fencing repairs, operating the valve that would drain the lake, as well as the outlet that drains the lake when we have significant rain years. Unfortunately, this is not one of those. We also oversee the community wildfire prevention plan implementation. And so for our staff, that means up to four times a year mowing annual grasses, primarily non-native annual grasses that pose a potential fire risk to our developed neighborhoods. And so we are right now in the midst of completing that. And we'll also see a large element of that community wildfire prevention plan implementation at the Elwood Mesa. Conceptually, you can think of it as part of the Monarch Butterfly Grove Management Plan. I'll talk about that one in a moment. We also oversee our urban forest management plan and interact and administer the Public Tree Advisory Commission. another very important commission of citizens from Goleta that advise us on everything from our street trees to areas like Stowe Grove Redwoods. We just did a significant effort there this spring. We are looking at our urban forest management plan and how it has been successful and not successful in some areas and where we may advance that with the help of our PTAC and other community over the next fiscal year. City Council this past year just approved the Creek Watershed Management Plan. Sorry for all of these emails. Let me just shut off my... sorry about this. No. Okay, the Creek and Watershed Management Plan was approved by City Council, and this is a citywide look at all of our important natural drainage areas, artificial drainage areas where creeks have been put into concrete culverts, a view of our watersheds, where we can improve habitat for wildlife, where we can improve our waterways for water quality. Most of our city drains to Goleta Beach via the Goleta Slough, but we also have other important areas like Devereaux Creek that drains out to Coyle Point, Sands Beach. And so there are various elements in this plan. I'll just say that in this next year, we're really setting up the implementation from very high level, meaning looking at where we can get assistance from technical consultants to understand and prioritize some of the improvements that we may see down the line in terms of invasive plant removal, habitat plantings, restoration projects, with a large emphasis on community-led projects. So envision the type of project where on a Saturday morning, we have a focused effort along San Jose Creek and invite all of the neighbors within, you know, a 2-mile radius to come out on a Saturday morning and plant native plants and learn about why San Jose Creek is important ecologically. Generally, we look for opportunities for grants. And so, a great opportunity would be implementation actions that we could seek grant funding for to implement the Creek and Watershed Management Plan. Okay, so the big one that's coming up this next year where we'll see a lot of activity in the Parks and Open Space Division is the Elwood Mesa Monarch Butterfly Grove. We have an adopted management plan. It's programmatic, meaning it identifies general program areas, but not specific actions on the ground. And so in the next month, we'll be at City Council with a request to approve a team of consultant contracts that will assist us in identifying the very specific steps that we are going to propose to implement on the ground. And so that includes some of the actions that I mentioned, like the Community Wildfire Prevention Plan, reducing fire risk to the Bluffs neighborhood and Santa Barbara Shores neighborhood, but also doing it in a way that doesn't negatively impact the monarch butterflies. There will be other actions like planting tens of thousands of native plants that can support the adult form of the monarch butterfly by providing nectar. And then we'll also be looking at other items like the trail system, signage, educational signage at Elwood, and how we can make vast improvements for that. All of those actions require a significant amount of permitting. And so our technical consultants will help with that, but we will need to be back at the California Coastal Commission for issuance of various coastal development permits. Underlying all of that is a significant effort to make sure that the community at large knows what is being proposed and has opportunities to weigh in and support the city's efforts to restore habitat for the monarchs at Elwood. We have two other proposed projects out at Elwood Mesa. One is the Habitat and Trail Improvement Project, which we've done most of the permitting for. We have not completed all of the design for that, but in general, it is about 13 acres of habitat improvement, coastal grassland, vernal pool, which is a very unique, rare type of wetland that we are blessed to have at Elwood Mesa. If I might just diverge for a moment, it's a type of wetland that fills up with winter rains when we get them. It's a small depression. We've got a thick clay layer underneath Elwood Mesa that keeps that water from draining through. The wetland's only there during the rainy season and then it dries up. So it only has very specific plants and animals that are able to survive that very stressful drying out process. And then they basically go into hibernation and then reappear when the pool fills up again. So we're proposing some specific efforts to make sure that those vernal pools are enhanced and don't disappear. They're incredibly unique. We also have the Elwood, two other points about the Elwood Mesa Habitat and Trail Improvement Project. We have two beach access areas at Elwood Mesa that are proposed to be improved. Basically the one that's straight out from Santa Barbara Shores, and then further to the east, the beach access that generally is locally known as our beach. And so both of those are proposed to be improved for accessibility and safety and to reduce erosion. And then we have about 2 miles of trail improvements that are proposed on the Mesa top. So it's a large project that really, for this next year, we're really looking more at the permitting and final design side, advancing those, not the implementation yet. Currently it's unfunded, so this would be another potential grant opportunity that we would pursue. Okay, and then the final project out at Elwood is the Elwood seawall removal. It's a it's an old decaying seawall that's made out of wood. Most of it is gone, and we have the potential to get funding through the Rufugio Oil Spill Settlement Fund. And so we haven't yet received that funding, but it is ripe and it's prime, and it fits a lot of the criteria for the type of funding that that settlement will give money to. So that's an exciting development. We would coordinate closely with various state agencies and then our neighbors to the east at Coyle Point Reserve. It's part of the UC system. I mentioned that because a lot of the seawall that when we have these heavy storms, parts of the seawall actually come loose and wash down coast to Sands Beach and create potential hazards for beach users and impact the habitat there. We also have various public works mitigation projects, such as, I occasionally assist our public works engineering and CIP staffers on other projects, such as the Hollister Avenue Bridge replacement project at San Jose Creek. There's various habitat restoration requirements for those projects, so I help out as needed. And then two projects at Lake Los Carneros. We all know about the pedestrian bridge project, so we'll be at City Council in July with a recommendation to create a new capital improvement project to start developing designs for a replacement bridge at Lake Los Carneros. That'll be another significant effort that involves a lot of permits and community outreach. And then towards the end of next fiscal year, we do want to start the community conversation about Lake Los Carneros, the master plan, and really bring in as many people in the community that can weigh in on what they value at Lake Los Carneros. We know birders are incredibly invested in the area. We've got various other issues such as habitat restoration, grassland management. It is a monarch overwintering site. We have other uses within the general area of Lake Los Carneros. So it's a very complex area with a lot of issues, but we really want to start this process towards the end of next fiscal year to really kick off community outreach and get the initial input before we make a recommendation to do the full master plan update, potentially in the following fiscal year. And that really sets the framework for, you know, how we can manage Lake Los Carneros to improve habitat functionality and education and passive recreation and all of the other things that are important there. And then lastly, I want to say I got hired last year in 2020, and we have some incredibly talented staff that are so dedicated to our parks. And I would be remiss by not highlighting that we are reinvesting in our staff. We are looking at new ways of developing technology, technological tools so that we can better manage our parks and open space. That is going to be a big focus this next year to make sure that our staff are, you know, at the top of their game, that we're able to manage these areas efficiently with the limited money that we do have. Okay, next slide, please. Okay, so the budget that I oversee is $1.8 million proposed for this next fiscal year, and that's our operating budget. And so that includes everything from our staff costs, long-term benefits, to things like equipment purchases, and all of the things that fall in between, such as, you know, purchasing items for replacement parts at our playgrounds, or purchasing new trash cans for all of our parks, which we just recently completed. Purchasing new fencing, because we've got 400 fence posts that have rotted away in the last 10 years and need to be replaced. So all of those sorts of costs, ongoing costs, can be considered operating budget. As opposed to our special budget items, like the $3.9 million grant that we received from the state to fund all of our efforts at Elwood Monarch Grove. So that is part of our budget, but I just highlight that because it's not part of our operating budget. So today's discussion and the details I'm providing are really focused on the operating budget. So the current fiscal year that we're in right now, we basically, when COVID hit, we did the status quo budget, and that was approved as part of the two-year process. So we're starting the new two-year budget come July. And so this was really the first opportunity for me to look at our budget and propose some structural changes and really gear those changes to increase transparency. And for a lot of the folks that I interact with in our community, one of the big questions that comes up is, how much do you spend on X, or how much do you spend on Y? And a good fill in the blank would be, how much do we spend on maintaining our parks? And so what we've done to change the structure of our operating budget is to identify all of our contract services. And so that's where we hire a landscape maintenance contractor to come mow all of our turf. That's a separate line item in our budget under contract services. Previously, that was put into those other line items that you see there: maintenance parks, maintenance trees, maintenance open space. So if you were to ask that question, how much do we spend on maintaining our parks, you would look at how much are we spending on contracts versus how much are we buying for replacement parts versus how many staff do we have in-house. And so what we're proposing now is to have these separate line items where it's a lot easier to look at our budget and understand where we're spending money. So for this next fiscal year, we have a little over $500,000 on various contractor services, and I'll talk about that on the next slide. We have $70,000 for maintenance parks, so park maintenance, $20,000 for tree maintenance, and $65,000 for open space maintenance. Now, I highlight those because when we look at the next slide, you'll see contract services and understand where we have additional services to maintain our trees via contract. The numbers that you see here, $70,000, $20,000, and $65,000, are funds that we can use, city staff, to buy things like replacement trees. So maintenance trees, we've got $20,000 in our budget next year to buy replacement trees, buy irrigation parts, to buy watering bags, to buy mulch. And so all of these line items right here, the $70,000, $20,000, $65,000 are discretionary funds that we apply to all of the areas that we manage. We also have a huge need for professional services. And when I talk about professional services, I'm talking about things like hiring a consultant to help with permit applications. That is a very technical process. We need a technical writer to do that. We have other needs such as geographic information systems service. So a GIS person that might be able to come in and help identify all of the areas that we need to maintain for fire clearance, put those into a database, and in turn, we would look as using that tool to guide our long-term management of those areas. Hopefully you understand the changes that we make and why we're making them. I do want to encourage all of you to look at last week's City Council meeting where the operating budget was proposed, because we have a 43 line item budget for parks and open space, and it provides a lot more detail as well as some narrative. On the next slide, I highlight just some of those line items so that we can look in more detail about some of the professional services, contract services, some of the vehicle and equipment purchases that we're proposing to make this next year. So I mentioned professional services. We include arborist services, biological surveys, technical services in as a kind of overall category. So arborists, that's a certified arborist. When we go out to do work in one of our open space that has trees, we will call in the professional certified arborist to come do an assessment of whatever trees we're working on. In most cases, because I worked in this industry for over 20 years, there are some calls that I'll make conservatively, but more often than not, we will bring in the arborist to make a recommendation and file a report. We also have biological surveys. Similarly, we deal a lot with nesting birds, butterflies, and other species that do require pre-work surveys, either as part of a permit requirement, we're required to do that, or just as a matter of good practice. And we always do that when we are in the bird nesting season, which we are right now. And then technical services, that's kind of a catch-all for things like the GIS analysis service that I mentioned previously. There are other technical services that we may require, such as an engineer for certain projects, if it's not a standalone capital project. Or for our playgrounds, we may need a recommendation on fall surface compliance. And so we may bring a specialist to come and do a certified test for our playground surfaces. Okay, and then the big category, contract services. I won't run through all of these, but just imagine managing all of our parks. It does require a whole network of skilled professionals, electricians, plumbers, service providers, like a security company that comes in and closes our gates where we have them at night. We are including a new item, the splash pad maintenance. So that's one of the incredible things on the horizon that Joanne is leading, a new splash pad facility, a recreational destination at Johnny Wallace. It requires an incredible amount of maintenance. It's like running a pool system with sanitation and pumps and other moving parts that requires a specialist. I do want to highlight two other items here because they are incredibly important for our parks and open space. So we have an incredible amount of trash, abandoned property, and hazmat that unfortunately does get deposited in our parks. Trash, abandoned property, things like mattresses, TVs, and then hazmat, things like drug needles, human feces, all of those things that we need to remove quickly, but do pose a potential health hazard. And then tree trimming and removal, that's a separate company that comes in and does that for us. I'll just wrap up with a couple highlights because we did make some requests for some new equipment that we don't have in our inventory currently. And all of these equipment costs are shared with our streets division, also in Public Works. So we're basically doing these a 50-50 split. An aerial bucket truck, we don't have one of those in our Public Works department. It is a critical piece of equipment, both for managing our trees, our smaller trees, addressing emergency situations, but then on the street side, dealing with things like street signs, street lights, street trees, and responding in emergency. We also do not own a backhoe. Our city does not have one in our inventory. And so that's another critical piece of equipment for not only our ongoing maintenance and operations, but for our emergency response capability. And then we've got two truck replacements for our fleet proposed there, and then a special piece of equipment called a boom flail mower attachment. Right now, if you're driving along 101, you will no doubt see one of these in action because Caltrans is busy at work. But it's basically an arm with a mower on it that attaches to a tractor, and you're able to mow slopes, mow hedges. And we really highlighted this because it increases our efficiency in our staff and also creates a safer working condition for them where they're not doing it all by hand or operating a tractor on a slope that they really shouldn't be operating on. So it does give us increased capability. With that, look forward to discussion and really look forward to this next fiscal year when we can develop this budget and work plan together. Thank you.
If there's any questions, both George and I are available if the commission had any questions or comments.
Vice Chair Williams, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, thank you, Chair Jenkins. Just a couple of comments and questions. One comment, thank you so much for going over this budget, both budgets, with such care. And I think I can speak for all the commission, we have learned a lot. I'm also very appreciative about so many of the initiatives that are reflected here, including what you have proposed for starting the master plan at Lake Los Caneros, and Joanne, for your projects, as well as the other matters. My question is with respect to two matters. One, the truck replacement. And as occasionally I will see grant programs for truck replacements that will provide either more efficient or electric vehicles. And so my first question is, would it be possible, consistent with Goleta's very important climate change goals and targets, to do everything we could to get an electric vehicle for our truck replacement, or at least more energy efficient vehicles? And my second, I guess, question comment is also directed to Public Works. And that is several of the items you described, which are so exciting with respect to Elwood and Carneros and even Steele Grove. Can we look forward to having this commission receive the recommendations of Public Works before they go to the City Council?
Yes, Chair Jenkins and Commissioner Williams, yes, absolutely. We are looking forward to a robust community engagement process for Elwood specifically, and that is the one that is on the front burner. The commission will be involved in that, both as a standalone item that comes back to the commission, but also I'll just extend an invitation now to all the commissioners to please attend those future community meetings that will be rolling out later this year. I think your presence at those meetings is critical and certainly more than welcome. For the replacement vehicles, we do not have an opportunity to replace our larger utility trucks with electric vehicles because they just are not on the market. And by utility vehicles, I mean our large work trucks. Consider that, you know, oftentimes we're hauling a trailer with our skid steer on it, a multi-thousand pound utility vehicle or our tractors. That said, we will look for opportunities to increase our efficiency, and we actually are working with our air pollution control district on opportunities to purchase electric equipment, replacement equipment for our blowers, our chainsaws, and other handheld equipment. So certainly we look for opportunities like that.
I would just add to that, Vice Chair Williams, this came up yesterday in City Council when the library requesting permission to purchase a diesel Sprinter van for their bookmobile. And what came up is very much what Mr. Thompson said, which is, you know, it's just some of the weighted vehicles don't have the amount of battery that's needed to be able to carry such heavy loads. And so what we heard is a lot of that technology is probably 2 or 3 years out. What you'll see right now is more the consumer-based vehicles, the smaller vehicles, lower weight vehicles. But council reiterated your point last night as well, which is, you know, we're pushing to be, you know, fossil free, you know, and on our vehicles, the sooner the better. They understand there are some constraints in technology, but also in cost. And so we have to balance that when we bring those purchases to bear. But we definitely know and are aware of the city's climate change goals. And so we will be working towards that. Some of it's just a limitation of where technology is for some of the larger vehicles, though.
And I might just add on to that we are exploring opportunities for leasing some of these replacement vehicles. So it's not putting all of our chips in and being stuck with a gas guzzler for, you know, the next 15 years. So we'll be exploring that opportunity once the budget's adopted.
That's wonderful, because that was going to be my next recommendation. So thank you so much.
Other questions from commissioners? Seeing none, let's move on to the next agenda item. Thank you for your report.
Thank you.
Chair Jenkins, the next item is C1 under discussion action item, proposed additional reservable group picnic area at Stowe Grove Park, and this will be presented by Ms. Plummer.
Good evening, Chair Jenkins. And members of our commission. So tonight we're talking about proposing to add an additional reservable opportunity at one of our existing picnic areas at Stowe Grove. So Stowe Grove Park currently has 3 picnic areas that are very popular with our community and with people from out of the area as well. These areas have been very popular, and as we've opened back up in the last month, we're seeing lots of requests. As we did open back up, we also took the commission's recommendation from a while ago to add Johnny D. Wallace's covered picnic shelter areas into our inventory of reservable locations. That too is starting to be very popular. And so currently within the city, there are 5 different locations that people can choose if they wanted to have their party or their event. And they range from attendance opportunities of 30 people in capacity up to 100 people in capacity right now, and depending on the location that you're going at. But the proposed location that we're looking at adding as a reservable opportunity is an area that has been very popular with our residents, and it's been very popular for young children's parties. And that is in part due to the proximity to the playground. So it has just a few picnic tables, and then there's also a bench, and there is something very similar, this similar setup. There's also a brazier there too, which is a barbecue stand on the other side of the playground as well. So the only difference between this one and that one is the addition of, and you see it on this bottom picture, the little picnic tables for little people. And a very cute amenity at Stowe Grove Park. For the first time I saw it, I fell in love with it. But this area that we're proposing does have the little picnic tables. The other area does not. So we're asking the commission tonight if you believe that this area would be a benefit to have it as a reservable option for our residents to have birthday parties and so forth. Right now, if somebody wants to have a birthday party, they show up when the park opens, which is at 8 a.m. And if their party's at 2, they sit there from 8 a.m. until 2, until their guests arrive and they start setting up. Reserving it would allow them to have exclusive use starting at their party time. And it will be posted that they have that use. There are a variety of other picnic opportunities in Stowe Grove, as well as a lot of other city parks that have 2 to 3 picnic tables, like featured here. a barbecue brazier, and those are all still first come, first serve. I'd also like to share with the commission that this picnic area, if it is not reserved, is still available. Then it always defaults back to first come, first serve if it's not reserved. So that is, we've been looking at these different areas and trying to meet the needs of our residents, and looking at parents showing up at 8 a.m. and hanging out until the afternoon is just kills me that they're just having to hang out. So George and I have been talking about what we can do. We would not be making modifications with the exception of adding in the reservable sign that it's reservable, and giving it its location, which would likely be Stowe Grove Area 4, and then an area that we can post that it's reserved, so that the residents that come up for that first come, first serve opportunity are aware that it is reserved at noon for somebody else. So that's what is before the commission tonight, is to see if you are interested in providing this location as an option to reserve, allowing families to plan and confirm their location for their party and or their celebration. And this area as well, I wanted to mention, is not, will not be allowed to have bounce houses. So for Stowe Grove Park, just for the commission's understanding, they can only have one bounce house in the park at all, and it, and that has to be in accompanied with a rental at either one of the two picnic areas. I think it's either area one and area two. But if there's a bounce house for area one, then that same day area two can't have one just because of space. This area would not allow a bounce house regardless because of its proximity to the playground. It's just not necessary. And then the potential for kids playing on the playground, it's just not fair to the parents of the kids on the playground to have a bounce house so close that they can't touch. So that would be staff's recommendation, is to make one of these two sites in the proximity of the playground reservable. And then as well, they would not allow a bounce houses in this location. So that is all that I have for my report. And if you have any questions, I am happy to answer those.
Are there any questions for Ms. Plummer? Are there any recommendations from the commissioners regarding the reservation for the picnic areas, tables? Let's not be shy. Vice Chair Williams.
Thank you. I think it is a very well thought out recommendation, and thank Ms. Plummer as usual for her thoroughness. I spend a fair amount of time in Stowe Grove Park, and I would like to reaffirm Ms. Plummer's observation that, you know, people camp out there. One thing that's nice about the reservation is also that it frees up that area when it is not being used, because then people don't have to just camp out there until it is going to be used for their event. So it actually ends up freeing up picnic tables to others to use when you look at it from that perspective. So I would be happy to move to adopt staff's recommendation to add an additional reservable area in the under the terms that Ms. Plummer specified.
Any other discussion? Would you phrase that in the form of a motion?
I move to adopt the staff recommendation that we add an additional reservable area to Stowe Grove Park, consistent with the terms that Ms. Plummer has recommended.
Is there a second? Thank you.
I'll second.
Any discussion? All those in favor of the motion? Do we have to do a roll call, or can we just, okay.
Roll call.
Ms. Dawson, could you conduct a roll call?
Commissioner Replico-Purinton?
Aye.
Commissioner Walton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Williams?
Yes.
And Chair Jenkins?
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And staff will be working on those improvements. And as soon as we are ready to roll, we'll go ahead and put an announcement out to the community that that location is available.
Okay. Very good.
All right, our next item is C2, final draft of community garden policies and procedures. Again, Joanne Plummer.
Again, thank you, commissioners, for having me present this information to you. I'm so excited. As the commission is aware, the draft policies, application and policies were brought before the commission last October. There were some recommendations from the commission at that time, and since our two newest commissioners have come on board, we have shared those with the commissioners, as well as the copy of the approved minutes associated, so that they could provide any input prior to this one. I wanted to share with the commission that while this is a final draft document, it is going to be an ever-changing living document that we're going to need to not just put on a shelf and say, this is how we operate. We're going to have to take a look at things and shift and change as we open and see what's working and what's not working. So this is our final stab at it, I guess I should say, as we take it further and look to council to make sure that we're operating and proposing to operate the community garden in a fashion in which they are is consistent with them. So at that October meeting, there were a few guidelines that the commission had asked staff to take a look at. That was the inclusion of an indemnification waiver, information to be available in Spanish, collaborations for community classes, workshops, etc., consideration of a lottery system for garden plot assignments, a priority for Goleta residents, restrictions for water use in gardens only, and financial aid considerations or volunteer in lieu of fees. So for the most part, I wanted to share with the commission, I hope you all read through your draft policies. I know it's exciting to read it because it's exciting to think about what's coming here in just a number of months. But the listed items above that I just spoke about were very appropriate to include in the guidelines. If it was appropriate to include in the guidelines, it was incorporated. The indemnification as well as the code of conduct contract has not yet been developed, but I'll be working with our city's legal office to make that happen. It might just be a little paragraph, but I'll be working closely with our attorneys to incorporate both of those elements. The financial aid consideration is a separate work effort, and I say that because while the commission is concerned about how that's going to impact the garden, we're looking at how it can impact our picnic rentals, or as we move towards a reservation system, how it could impact those field reservation systems and other things that come down the pike for the city. So in speaking with our city legal office, it seemed best to not just make something that's applicable for the garden, but really to step back and take a look and look at citywide services to see what could be, what could benefit from having some kind of modified fee or reduction in fee for those that are having some financial challenges. So we'll be looking at that, and it will be applicable as well to the garden. I also wanted to share that we looked at, staff is going to continue to explore the development of a list of prohibited species. That was not something that came back from the commission, but it was something that staff had originally recommended in that staff report in October, is that we may include in this packet a list of prohibited species. And prohibited species would be species that would, one of them, what we want to have in there would be cannabis. You can't grow cannabis. You also couldn't grow something that could aggressively get into other gardens and impede other gardens. We want to make sure that we're not looking at something that would grow too tall to block the sun from another gardener. So we're looking at a list of those and working with local gardeners to determine that list. And again, that will be ever changing as needs arise. And also I wanted to share that collaborations, our community workshops, and documents and signs translated to Spanish, those are all really more program related and things that we would be doing as programming for the community garden and preparing, not necessarily related to the policies and procedures, but we're going to do everything we can do to have those users make sure that everybody has the same equitable chance to understand what's happening and what's expected of them in the garden. As well, I wanted to share and remind the commission that the city council will establish the fees eventually. We'll be looking to them to establish what those fees will look like. And we want to see that the gardens are used, and we don't want to outcharge ourselves. But again, looking at that fee, as well as some kind of a reduction in that fee for low-income families. And then we also talked about the residents' priorities. And so while if the demand was so high where we had to close it off to non-residents, that is something we could look at. But right now, how the policy is written is that we would open up for City of Goleta residents first, and it would be a window of opportunity for City of Goleta residents. And then beyond that, it's open to anybody. So, because again, the goal is to let people garden, and we don't want to turn them away if we have a garden space and just because they don't live within the city limits. So again, the priority would go to our Goleta residents. We've incorporated a lottery system. We went back to our offices and looked at the first come, first serve versus a lottery. We do work with a lottery system for affordable housing programs. So it seemed to make sense that we would look at a lottery system for the at least the first establishment of where those plots go, and then going from there. So we don't know how, we're anticipating that we're going to be very busy. Let's just say that. So in anticipation of a high demand, that's what we're going to go with for at least the first round. And again, this is going to be an ever-changing document. So if it works, then we can keep it. If it doesn't work, then we can look to see what does work. If we have to expand that priority for our residents because of time, if we have to dwindle that because we just sit stagnant with nobody calling us. So we'll take a look at that, and we'll be ever changing. So with all of that, if the commission would like to see a copy of the guidelines or had a question in relation to a certain topic, Shanna has the ability to bring that up if we need her to, and we can look at it together. Otherwise, that's what I have for you tonight. And if you have any questions, I'm available.
Commissioner Walton.
Thank you, Joanne. That was a wonderful presentation, and I am definitely very excited about this. I did have a question about how I understand the fees will be determined later, but will it be something where you'll rent it by season, or will you get a full 12-month rental of it? Because I can imagine there being scenarios where people only want to rent it from, in the wintertime or only in the late summer, and that would possibly open it up to more residents to participate if some people are just growing seasonally and don't want to, or don't require it the entire year. Can you speak to that?
Thank you, Commissioner Walton. Yes, I believe right now in the policies and procedures, it's for a 12-month rental. And that we looked at that, and in our area, you really can grow crops year round, just different kinds of crops. And you're absolutely right. There may be people that don't want to grow from in the summertime because they're gone or they don't want to use that much water or anything of that nature. So it could be something to where somebody wants to share a garden plot with somebody else. And as long as everybody is on that garden application, that would be a fine use of the space. There are also parameters that if you're not gardening that month, or you're not going to grow anything that month or that season, what the gardener can do in order to, they would still be required to maintain their plot, free it of weeds. They can put something over there so that they can reduce the growing of any of those weeds, but like a cloth cover or something. But it is on a year basis. And that's right now is a staff resource concern, because to try to follow each of those seasons and try to get somebody, chase people every 3 months would be a little bit more of a challenge. So right now on staff resources, we're doing it on an annual basis.
Okay, that's wonderful. And how many, you mentioned there's opportunity to share the plot. So I guess like how many adults, and I guess they don't have to be from the same households, they can, share a plot. Is there a limit to how many?
We did not specify a limit. And we even have language in those policies about organizations. So if, let's say it was the housing authority that's next door wanted to garden two plots, and they had a person in charge or two different plots, and their residents were working on those plots, that there is no limit to that. But we want to be reasonable. So if, but we also know that if I'm gardening and I'm working full time and if I'm raising kids, I may not have as much time to tend to the garden. So I might need my friend who only works at nights and is available during the day to help me with that garden too. And we could help each other out. So we do know that it takes a village to do some of these things. And we understand that and respect that. So at this time, there is no limit on that number of people to share a plot. But if it's an area that comes out of hand, that's a prime example. Gets out of hand, that's a prime example of what we would want to address and amend these policies to reflect.
Thank
Great
you.
Question.
Any other questions, Ms. Wolf?
I think Vice Chair Williams has.
Yes, thank you, Chairman Jenkins. And Joanne, I can say as one of the commissioners who was there when we reviewed this in October, I'm thrilled with the improvements that were made to this. I think we're all very excited about this community garden. Can't wait for it to be launched. And thank you for your excellent work on this and also your inclusion of the commission recommendations in this draft.
Thank you.
And one thing, Commissioner, Chair Jenkins, we might want to just double check to see if there are any public comments about this.
Okay. Ms. Dawson, could you check and see if there are any public comments?
Of course. If there are any members of the public who are on who wish to make public comment, please use the raise your hand icon and I will unmute you on this end. Does not appear that we have any public comment. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for bringing that up, too. Vice Chair. Well, I was very impressed when I read the project. It was so comprehensive and very well thought out. I'd like to commend you for the job well done.
Thank you. So we would just need a motion, Chair Jenkins, to support the recommendation on the revised final draft guidelines.
Would someone make a motion to accept the proposed guidelines for the garden project?
I'll move that we accept, excuse me, I move that we accept the amended guidelines as proposed tonight.
A second, Ms. Williams?
I second.
Any further discussion? Seeing none, Ms. Dawson, can you conduct a roll call?
Of course. Commissioner Replico-Carrington?
Aye.
Commissioner Walton?
Aye.
Vice Chair Williams?
Yes.
And Chair Jenkins?
Yes.
Unanimous vote. Thank you very much. The next item on the agenda is item D, Commissioner Comments.
Chair Jenkins, as we did at the last meeting, we had added commissioner comments to our agenda. This is a time for any commissioner that had a comment about anything maybe that wasn't on the agenda or anything that they wanted to make. And then after that, you're in adjournment. So I'll turn it back over to you.
Is there any comment that any of the commissioners who are present want to make? Vice Chair Williams, I saw her hand first.
Thank you. I just have two comments. One, I continue to hear so many positive comments from the community about the improvements that have been made at Stowe Grove Park, and just want to thank George and Public Works for all of your great work there. That is just getting better and better. And also the picnic tables and everything else look great. And that is an open space and park that we can be more proud of than ever. It is looking great. I know there are a few more things that need to be done, but it is looking great. So thank you. Lake Los Caneros, again, I've received a smattering of comments from people who have expressed concern about the ground squirrels, also what they perceive now as a smell from the lake because of the eutrophication. And I know we're looking hard at that, but there is community concern about what will happen with the lake this summer and also how the tule continue to encroach upon the footprint of the lake. So we can't soon enough start working on the master plan, but I have heard quite a few concerns about that, but not as many as the compliments that I've heard about Stoke Grove Park. So thank you again.
Thank you. Commissioner Puritan.
I was going to say basically the same thing that Commissioner Williams said regarding Stoke Grove. I've heard lots of positive comments, and I was out there recently. It looks great. So thank you.
Commissioner Walton, this is your time to comment.
Yeah, I will just echo the thanks for everyone's hard work and thoroughness with these reports, and definitely looking forward to it unfolding. So thank you.
Okay, very good. I don't have any comments. And since we're coming to the close of our meeting, the chair entertained a motion to adjourn. Anyone can make that. Commissioner Walton.
Until next time.
Okay. Commissioner Williams, you second that?
I'll second that motion.
Okay. We don't need a, do we need a roll call for this too?
No, we don't need a roll call for this.
Okay.
You can just adjourn the meeting.
Okay, so the meeting's adjourned. Thank you all for coming to the meeting and participating. And it was a great meeting. Thank you.
It was, and thank you so much. Thank you so much, Steph.